Hello and welcome to episode 199 of the Say It Score podcast, where we discuss everything going on at Southampton Football Club. St Mary's was not a happy hunting ground for Southampton in the Premier League, but it's now four wins in a row at home. Back-to-back matches against Bristol City and Cardiff City looks to be a tough test for Russell Martin's men, but three goals and two clean sheets helped Southampton on their way to 11 unbeaten. To discuss it all this week, my name is Harry Tizard. I'm joined by Ollie Bose and Jamie Allen. And I'll start with Ollie. How are you doing this week?
You're doing good, thanks, mate. I haven't really got too much to report, but I'm doing well. I'm doing all right. How's yourself? Are you doing okay? What have you been up to?
I've not been up so much. On the Saturday, I wasn't able to watch the Saints game, but I was watching Sheffield United v Burnley and Man United v Newcastle, so there's a couple of busy games. How about you, Jamie? How are you doing?
Return of the Mac, mate. I'm back. Yes, I'd like to, actually, you know what? I'd like to formally apologise to the listeners. Ooh. For you guys having to deal with just Harry and Ollie. I can imagine it's a pain in your
lives. We were all right, actually, when it's just me. What did we talk about? We ended up talking about what we were like in school for about 10 minutes. So, okay, maybe that wasn't the best. But
anyway, my main point is I'd like to thank the listeners, because with the Spotify Wrapped coming out, we had some really interesting stats. Mm. And our listenerships went up 77% this year. And I think all of us boys can agree we've had a great year of the podcast. We really enjoyed it. I'd like to thank you guys for listening.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Nathan Jones part of the season was horrible for every Southampton fan, but plenty of people wanted to tune in for that period of the season. Loads more streams, loads more follows. And I even saw someone on X or Twitter, as it used to be called, had us in their top five, which was really, really nice to see as well.
Harry Tizard, we had 181 fans in the top five. As the stats say, mate. And we were 30 people's number one podcast. So,
whoa.
Thank you to you 30 people. We love you.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we just enjoy making this podcast. We've done it for over 4 years now. Mikey's now gone, but we'll talk about why in maybe a future episode. Maybe the 200th episode. Ooh. We'll speak about why that is. But it's positive. Don't worry. It's not being...
It's no bad news.
Kicked him off.
We still love Mikey, but he unfortunately had to leave the podcast, which reasons will be told later on.
It makes it sound really bad. Good news. It's good news, people.
Yeah, good news, he's gone.
Do you reckon he still listens?
I'd like to think so.
I'm afraid of the answer. Well, the good news on this side is that Saints have won back-to-back games in the Wednesday and the Saturday. Two clean sheets, like I said before as well. And because Bristol City was the one on the Wednesday, we won't speak a lot about it, but the key points, that's the important bit. Ollie, what did you make of the match?
First half was slow. The thing that kept popping into my mind was when you said we can only really control 45 minutes. And that in that first 45 was clearly not already half opposing danger. I think we were a little bit sideways. We held the ball. We kind of nullified Bristol City. I think they really just came to defend and try and nick something on the counter-attack, which is kind of what we expected them to do, and they did it. Second half, we were much better. We looked a lot more dangerous and posed a lot more opportunities, much more of an exciting half. And finished well by an excellent piece of quality from Walker Peters. So, yeah, good to get a clean sheet. I think that was important. I always do get a little bit nervy holding on to a 1-0 because it feels like all you need is one corner, one deflection, and then you've lost 2 points. So I think Russell Martin was also a little bit annoyed after the game that we didn't go and kill the game a little bit earlier and finish it. He had a bit of a flaky interaction with Adam Blackmore. I sent it to you guys in the chat. Yeah. And it felt like Adam did absolutely nothing wrong and Russell Martin just needed someone to vent to. I think Russell Martin was a little bit disappointed that we didn't fully go and kill the game in the second half. Asked for a little bit more from his players and I think definitely got that out from Cardiff. So, yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I think it's probably the first time we've seen us control a game for a whole 90 against Cardiff, whereas Bristol City, again, was just that kind of 45 minutes of dominance.
And after half-time, we scored, I think, 2 minutes after, Jamie, 1-0 against a Liam Manning side. You know, they did quite well against Middlesbrough, a 3-2 win. What did you make of the match?
Well, it's interesting because even though Bristol only had 33% of the possession of the game, I still felt like they're a very strong side. It's just a championship opponents. I think we go into the games underestimating them and they really held their own against us. And as I say, Bazunu had an amazing game. It's really showing his quality as to why we signed him. But it's an unbelievable game. I'm really happy for him as well. Back-to-back clean sheets. And who when do you know when the last time we had back-to-back clean sheets at home was? Because I could not tell you, because it must have been a long, long time ago. With big Fraser and goal, probably. But yeah, I was very happy with the result, considering how well Bristol played. And I'm looking forward to the return fixture. I think hopefully all three of us will be able to go to.
Yeah, Bisogna made two really important interventions in that game. One from a header, one from a one-on-one as well. Ollie, do you think he's growing into the season? I think there's a few murmurs at the start of the campaign that people still weren't that impressed with him being our goalkeeper. Russell Martin came out, defended him really, really well, especially, you know, look at the Sunderland 5-0 game, even though it wasn't necessarily his fault. It's another time when you look at the goalkeeper and think, could he be doing better with a couple of those? But he's done really well in recent weeks.
Yeah, definitely. And there was a point I remember seeing goals prevented or something like that, and after that terrible run he was right at the bottom as well, and that's when people kind of worried, thinking, well, he was worse in the Premier League and now he's the worst in the Championship. But I think he's a lot more confident in what the manager's asking him to do. I think we've seen him come off his line a lot more, and I can't remember which one of the games it was, but he chucked his head in front of the ball when there's someone putting his leg up and he's diving, headed it away, which I think again shows the kind of confidence. He knows where the ball is, he's going for it, and he's making sure of it as well. And I think he's playing that position really well. I think there's even times where, again, I'm still not quite used to this possession style. He's almost drawing the attacker in from the press and then playing it away at the last moment. And even it makes my kind of stomach drop a little bit. But he seems really confident enough. And yeah, like you said, he's now putting those saves in that we know he's an excellent shot stopper. I think some of the question marks were with those kind of either reaction saves or ones where he's kind of half sighted and he hasn't got long to get it. Sometimes it looks like he fumbles them, but recently he's been brilliant and I don't really think you can knock him.
Jamie, do you think a big part of the recent clean sheets and the two away from home as well is because he's had Harwood, Bellis and Bednarek in front of him? Two comfortable, confident centre-backs. I think even recently he said that that's a big reason that they have improved defensively, is because it's been a consecutive back two in front of him.
Yeah, I think you're right as well, but also to consider the new coach that's come in as well since he's arrived at the club. And the main thing is the consistency of his defensive line. Apart from having maybe Bree and Manning swap out, the back four, let alone the back two, have stayed the same with Walker Peters being involved as well. I think that's what the problem was in the Premier League. Not necessarily that he would have conceded less if we had a set number two percent of backs. We kept swapping round with Bella Kotchap, Kletisar, Lianko at some points. It just sounds really crazy. And Bednarek coming back on loan. So it just shows the fact that you have these two players that are sat in front of him that won't change, hopefully, anytime soon. Even with Jack Stevens coming back, I do love him as a man and as a player, but I don't think we should swap him out anytime soon for Bednarek and Hayward Bellis.
Now, something that did come out of that game at the start was that Stewart wasn't on the bench, really. And then Sulemana comes off injured as well. How big of a blow is that in a really busy December period? Or do you look at it and think, well, that's opportunities for players that haven't really got minutes this season?
Yeah, I think I've noticed, especially with these three games in a week, we've seen some players who potentially haven't had minutes allowing to kind of come on and prove their point. It's disappointing with both of them, like you said, just as how careful we were trying to return Ross Stewart back from injury. We really took our time and stressed the importance of not rushing it. And the fact that he's picked up another injury now is kind of really disappointing. Sulemana was an interesting one, because I think as soon as he went down, he was kind of signalling himself that he needs to come off. I had a reporter at the game in terms of my dad, and he kind of said it looked like he didn't really fancy it, and he said that as soon as he kind of went down he was looking at the sidelines to come off. So that's Beau Senior's opinion. But yeah, I did notice he's got his leg really wrapped up now. I don't know if that's his hamstring or his knee support, but if you have a look at one of his legs, I think we mentioned it previously, but yeah, all kind of wrapped up. And I think you get that with dynamic, explosive players like that. They put their body through a lot of stress, and sometimes they do pick up a lot of reoccurring injuries from it. You think of a lot of players with pace, like Theo Walcott, ex-Saints player, was riddled with injuries because of that kind of explosive pace that they have. So you kind of hope it's being managed, and I know he will be out until the new year, but fingers crossed he can come back and maybe I was going to say manages his workload a little bit more, but I think he's been managed perfectly. I think there's options that we've had. He's sometimes come off games early. So I think in a management sense, he's been kind of handled perfectly. I think it's just an unlucky thing that he's picked up another injury. So I don't think it's the manager's fault. I think it's just a bit of bad luck.
And Jamie, how much of a miss do you think Suleiman is going to be? Because it felt like he was building his way into the team. He was getting consistent starts, and now it's another injury that's going to keep him out for at least a month.
Well, not that I obviously really like the player, but realistically, he's not been getting that many goal involvements, has he? If you actually look at the stats, obviously he's a brilliant player for the side, obviously lots of build-up play, but I don't think we'll miss him incredibly, because I think we have the players that can do the same thing as him on the bench, like Sam Adozie and Joe Aribo did a little, not similar stuff, but has the same attacking abilities that we saw in the Cardiff game. But I think it will definitely be a miss, but I think thankfully we have a very well-versified squad that can actually step up in these situations. And that's why I think it's the differences from us in the Premier League to now, is we have players who are ready to take the step up, even if they've been on the bench for a few weeks. Like, I mean, Sam Adozie coming back into the squad more often now, I think he'll be a major part of our winter campaign.
Well, I hope so, and we'll certainly talk about that a bit later, but we can't move away from the Bristol City game without talking about Kyle Walker-Peters' strike from the edge of the box with his somewhat weaker left foot, but I don't believe that anymore. Ollie, what did you make of Kyle Walker-Peters' goal, and is he the best right back in the league?
Oh, well, we were saying it before, and I think he's making a strong case. I was explaining it to, I remember who I was talking to. I think I was talking to a Bristol City fan about the game, and I said the real difference was a right back who shouldn't be playing in the Championship. He should really be playing top half of the Premier League and possibly even in Europe. And it's a wonder that we still got him, and it makes me very nervous for January because there could be teams sniffing around for him. But yeah, again, it's that quality coming inside and having the confidence to hit that shot. Is unbelievable. The way he retains the ball, I don't need to preach to Saints fans about this because they know this, they see it every week. His retention, the way that he runs at opponents, and he's a real attacking force for us. I mean, both of our fullbacks, when Manning's playing and Walker-Peters, they do act as just secondary attackers to our wingers as well. So just allows us to pile that pressure on to opponents, and he's brilliant at it. He's so good attacking wise and solid defensively as well. A cool head and really acting as a kind of senior figure in the dressing room as well. So it's brilliant that we have him. And in answer to your question, yes, I think there's a strong argument to say that he's the best right back in the Championship.
And Jamie, it seems like he's relatively happy to stay here past the January window from the quotes that we saw. Or are you not reading too much into that? Because there was talk about Tino Livramento wanting a consistent season in the Championship, and now he's smashing it for Newcastle.
But I don't know if what he said really is him saying he's not going to go. He said he doesn't want to think about it right now, and he's enjoying his football. And then if something comes up, he'll think about it then. Or unless I said, say that means he's definitely saying he's not leaving, because I know Russell Martins has came out and actually said he doesn't want him to. However, the player hasn't strictly said exactly that he wants to stay just yet. But I do agree with what he's saying, and that he just is an unbelievable talent and nowhere near deserves to be in a Championship club. I genuinely think he could possibly go back to Spurs maybe and be in their side, because I don't think he's that much of a talent. And it's also another interesting thing, I think, is he could even be in the England squad. It's just Gareth Southgate would never look to the Championship for a player as well.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Hopefully he looks at Tino Livramento for that left-back spot, because, you know, Shaw's had a difficult, couple of games since he's been out with injury, and Ben Chilwell's been out for a long time as well. Like you said, I think he should be looking at Walker-Peters, but I don't think he will. Right, let's talk about Cardiff. That's the main match that we're going to discuss. A 2-0 victory, a double from Adam Armstrong as well. Ollie, what did you make of the match?
Yeah, well, like I said, there was 45 minutes of domination against Bristol City. We totally dominated against Cardiff. I think this is what Russell Martin wants to see. It's not just possession, but it's domination for 90 minutes, which is a rarity for Saints. But the two goals in quick succession, there was me kind of being greedy and kind of going, let's kill this by half time and kind of get it really wrapped up. But I think it was good for us. I think it meant we kept pushing on, which is kind of strange saying, like, oh, I'm not saying by any chance that we kind of on purposely held off for two and didn't want to kill the game by three. But it meant the substitutes that came on were still hungry. We looked like we wanted to keep going. We used attack as our best form of defence. I know it's a big cliche, but it's true. We're kind of really adding that kind of fear factor to St Mary's now, which I think is really nice because it kind of got slowly drained out of all last season, and you could feel all that tension in the stadium, whereas now you have a lot of positive energy, which I think is around there. I think a lot of people were excited to dance to the music once we score another goal.
From what you were saying there, Ollie, would you call the game against Cardiff our most complete performance of the season? I think probably the favourite performance was against Leeds United, being 3-0 up. But then we've conceded that goal in the second half and it gets a tad nervy, if nothing else. Whereas against Cardiff, it didn't really feel like they had too many chances. We get those two early goals, get the clean sheet, easy as you like.
Well, I think from it, in terms of what the managers asked them to do, I think it's been the most successful output. And I think that's come from how much time he's now had with the players. And instead of doing major changes, going from not wanting to hold the ball, turning over possession on purpose in order to counter-press higher up the pitch, to now purposely wanting to hold onto the ball, being confident in terms of trying to initiate a press from the opposition and play out of it, play under pressure. It would have taken major changes to do that. And I think he's now tweaking and finding tweaks. But I found it really nice when you saw the opposition, their goalkeeper, once he got the ball, just smacking it as soon as he could and just giving us the possession straight away. It was so satisfying because I was thinking, we don't do that. When it goes back to our keeper, we were creating chances straight from the keeper all the way up. We'd find space in the middle. And it reminded me a lot of when we saw Brighton doing it against us and thinking, oh my God, they're just knocking it about around us. And we were doing that to Cardiff. It was lovely to be on the other side of it for once.
And Jamie, what did you make of the game against Cardiff? Because it would have seemed that there would be a tougher opposition than Bristol City. They've got a pretty good away track record in the last few weeks as well, but it was completely comfortable.
Yeah, I think going against Cardiff was definitely Russell Martin's biggest game at the club so far. Because I think after nearly halfway through the season, but nearly at that point anyway, and we're finally playing the fluid football he had his Swansea team playing. And it's a lovely, satisfying reward. I think at the start of the season, of the three losses in a row, everyone was calling for his head. Everyone's complaining about his football. But I think everyone's now realised the way Russell Martin wants to play just takes a lot of time. And once the players get it, we have the results against Cardiff like we will have against every other team we play, hopefully. Like 18 shots with like 6 on target is... it's interesting and beautiful football to watch, and hopefully it will come on a lot more.
I mean, yeah, we should have scored more as well. If you look at the XG, it was well over 2. Looking at the team selection, Ryan Manning keeps his place, but Adozie is snubbed once again, Ollie. Adams gets the start up front. Are you surprised the way he's just been not used at all in the last 12 games, really, from Russell Martin? He's not even played in 4 of the last 5. He's not started, I don't believe. I think he started 1 since the loss against Middlesbrough. Mm. And for a player that scored 2 early on in the season, was looking really bright, since Sulemana got back fit, he's not really played at all.
Interesting as well, because Hasenhüttl did the same thing when he came in. He looked like our best player for sure. And then slowly fell out of favour. So I'm not quite sure what that is. I think it must be something that we can't see. So I don't really want to speculate because that's probably not fair. And I don't know the answers to it. But who knows? What could it be? Something like motivation or complacency, maybe? Getting into the team and not trying hard to keep his place. Kind of thinking, I'm in the team now and this is now mine, and kind of taking it for granted. I don't know. I don't know the player. I don't know what he's like. But like you said, there's definitely a correlation there, isn't there? That there's two managers now that really like initially what they see, but maybe they're not quite getting what they want from him later down the line, and they bring in players that will do what they want. So an interesting one. I hope he does come back as well, because you can see there's a lot of raw talent there to be used. And unfortunately, we're not seeing it at the moment.
Are you somewhat surprised as well, Jamie? You mentioned before about Sam Adozie, because I go back to the Bristol City game, for example. When Sulemana came off, I was shocked that Adoza didn't come on. I think we missed that tricky winger, someone that can just pick up the ball, drive forward 20 yards, maybe release some pressure out of the team. And then he's picked Adams. And, you know, I can't complain whatsoever because I think, A, Adams has been unfairly treated by some of the Saints fans. I think because he's not had a lot of minutes recently, he's not going to be as consistent as a lot of people would hope. But then again, we're 11 unbeaten. So whatever Russell Martin has chosen has seemingly worked recently.
Yeah, I think if I was Adoza, I think it'd be a lot of frustration around it as well. Because I think possibly if there was like all five subs were used and then it's kind of like, fair enough, it wasn't in the game plan. But especially against Cardiff, what we brought Aribo 62nd minute, Fraser 63rd, then Sakumara at 81st. There's three opportunities, or if not two with the double sub, to bring him on. And like, especially like you said, with Sulemana going off injured, you would be think the tricky winger, that's what we really need in this championship football. And it just doesn't come on at all. And I think if I was Adoza, I'd be getting very frustrated and wondering why we're not playing. As I already mentioned, something must be going on behind the scenes. Even like Celes barely played him when he had his tenure and we got relegated. But I honestly don't see why, because had a brilliant start to the season. It just must be something going on behind the scenes. Because there's no reason as to why a brilliant footballer like that should not be playing.
Well, a brilliant start to the season and a brilliant opening to this match as well. Two goals in 15 minutes. And of course, they came from Adam Armstrong as well. The first was most certainly my favourite. Building all the way out from the back. I think Bazunu had one of the first touches after controlling a throw. And we build it so nicely up the pitch. And it's a fantastic finish from Adam Armstrong as well, Ollie. What did you like more? The build-up play, how we're really starting to believe in Russell Martin's system, and maybe the players are really starting to understand it as well. Mm. Or a really delightful finish with his left foot.
It reminds me, this is a throwback. Do you remember the goal of the season, which was Schneiderlin? Where he put it in and we had something like 30 passes and then Schneiderlin just opens his body up and puts it in the back of the net. Reminded me a lot of that, and that was good times. I think that was Koeman, I believe, around that era. Koeman or Pochettino, definitely one of those.
Probably Poch. I'm not sure Schneiderlin played too much under Koeman.
There you go. Thank you, Jamie. But yeah, it was lovely to watch. It was brave the way we were playing. We were making forward passes and trying to make things happen. And then, like you said, that beautiful finish at the end, just to slot it away nicely out of the reach of the keeper, was lovely to see as well. And my housemate was watching it with me, and he said, "See, that's an amazing finish. Why did he not just do that in the Premier League?" And I said, "Because he hasn't scored the 10 goals before that. A player who's still looking for his first or his second of the season won't try that shot with that much confidence, or will overhit it or rush it and won't take it on or might pass it off. But this is a man who's brimming full of confidence, and he doesn't think twice about it. He thinks, oh, the keeper's slightly away, I'm going to have a shot quickly, catch him off guard, and it goes back in the net, top corner. So that's the difference that you're dealing with. It's the exact same player. It's not that he's learned absolutely loads. We knew he could do this in the Championship before, but it's just that difference of confidence and momentum for him to take on that shot, which is obviously a delight for us fans to watch.
Well, he added his second 4 minutes later after some really good advantage play from the referee after Alcaraz just got absolutely taken out on the left-hand side. Jamie, would you say that Adam Armstrong is one of the most complete strikers in the Championship? I looked at the statistics, and this is at the Stats Saint on Twitter, looking at his game against Cardiff City. 2 goals, 4 shots on target, 2 chances creating, 86% pass accuracy, 8 touches in the box, 3 passes into the final third, 3 recoveries and 100% of his tackles won. He doesn't just score the goals, but he creates opportunities for other people, and he just wins the ball back really well as well.
Yeah, 16 goals and assists this early on in the season is ridiculous for a player who struggled to get above 1 goal a season for us. And it's very, very, very nice redemption arc for him, as the fans were not happy with him coming on when we started in the Premier League, to now being the captain of the club and being really, truly being the star man we signed him for. Because remember when we bought him, was it for 15 million, we just sold Matt Target to get the funds in. And I always knew from then when we would, he'd be amazing for us, but I didn't quite think it'd be the Championship.
Yeah, I mean, after his goal against Everton on his debut, when he tucked it right into the top corner, we were singing, who's Danny Ings? I mean, a lot of people are probably saying that now, but then we're in the Championship, so neither of us have really had the trajectory after that move that we both hoped. And Ollie, 2-0 up, how much control does that give us over the game? We've not really seen that at home or away that often this season. Because for me, when we've gone 2-0 up, it means that the players can just play with that little bit more freedom. That when there's one goal, if they're trying to pass the ball out the back, they're thinking, if I make a mistake, it's 1-0. The momentum of the game turns completely. But at 2-0, you can sort of relax a bit. It forces the opposition to come out, so you've got more space to pass into. And even though we didn't kick on and get that next goal, from what Russell Martin said about us being able to play our style of play, and this was probably one of his favourite games, at least suggested from the quotes that we saw after the match, it does really help.
Yeah, I don't think I've got much else to add, to be honest, but you've hit it spot on. I mean, it gives you that extra buffer. Like I said, the one thing that I worry about is that having that dominance at 1-0 and not being able to put the game to bed, but that 2-0 gives you that extra, that little comfort, just in case a little accident or a little, you know, moment of God turns up and someone smacks one from 40 yards. It just eases that pressure, and it eases it around for the fans as well. They can kind of relax. And also it means, I mean, the way we play, we want teams to come out and press us so we can play it around them. They didn't really do that. They just kind of sat where they were and they didn't really have a plan B. So we were happy to just carry on what we were doing, and we knew that what we were doing was working. They didn't really change it up, and we didn't either, which basically meant we had 90 minutes of doing basically whatever we wanted, which is quite fun to watch.
And at 2-0 up, Cardiff had a couple of half chances, well, one really good chance in the first half as well. Had Mate that got completely taken out by Bazunu, and a lot of people thought it was a foul, but he gets the ball, he heads it away. And from what Ollie said last week, that's the benefit that you get from having a sweeper goalkeeper. Sometimes he'll come off his line and you might get chips, but in those sorts of situations, you can sweep away attacks. And then Carlan Grant thumps one well over the bar from about 2 yards out, where it could have really changed the game. The second half, I think the only disappointment was that we weren't able to score more goals. Ariba hits the post. I think Adam Armstrong, either side of half-time, had a chance to complete his hat-trick but wasn't able to. And Fraser slid one wide as well. And looking at some of the players in that match, Jamie Alcaraz, 10 games that he's played for us. Sorry, 11 games that he's played for us, started, I should say. 10 wins, 1 draw. And when he's not started, our record has been a bit indifferent. How important is he to this team? Or is it just a complete fluke that the records sway that way?
I don't know. I think when it is like that many games, like what, 11, and he's played now and started in, and he just has never lost a game. He really is our lucky Argentine man, and we all love him for it. But I just don't understand like what is the differences between him not starting. What was it, the Sunderland game, the Middlesbrough game, the Leicester one? But then when he is on the starting 11, it strikes fear into the opponent's eyes. That's what it is. They say he's trained with Lionel Messi. He will not beat us today. That's the main thing.
Do you think it is that maverick then, Ollie? The fact that he just does something that probably none of our other midfielders can do. I mean, Stewie's really improved this season, like we mentioned in the last podcast. But look at Smallbone, Charles, Downs. They're fantastic in their own right, but they don't have that, I don't know, creativity. I guess Alcaraz plays further forward, so he has that level of freedom. But, you know, 10 wins and 1 draw compared to, I think, 1 loss, 3 draws, 4 losses. It's a big difference.
Yeah, I think you see it a lot with some teams who don't have that kind of magic man. I don't know if that's the word to go for, but someone who can make something happen out of nothing. We saw it at the tail end of last season. He was doing that for us in the Premier League. And I think in the Championship, his quality does just show in the way that he plays. He was one that I was expecting him to go, and he didn't. He stayed around, was actually really happy and settled in Southampton, which I think is a real testament to the club to be able to hold on to these players, because I think he will make a difference and come to the end of the season. And yeah, like you say, the other midfielders you mentioned, they're are great, but I think they're solid. They don't have that, yeah, that kind of that ability to make something out of nothing in the middle. So having that player in that top of the triangle in the midfield, as it was, or sometimes he can even play up top, drop down into a false nine or push out wide. He's very useful in the way that we can play him wherever he wants, and he will make an impact into the game for the majority of the ones that he's played, like you mentioned. So, yeah, I feel like we're very lucky to have him in the side.
And someone that split the fans' opinion for most of the season, but probably had his best game against Cardiff City, was Ryan Manning, Jamie. If you look at the stats, 114 touches, one key pass, 6 of his 8 ground duels won, 1 of his 1 aerial duels won, 5 tackles and 4 interceptions. And even though James Bree hasn't really done anything wrong this season, it now looks pretty difficult for him to get his place back.
Yeah, I think it's just such a shame that Walker Peters is a player that will never leave our starting 11, because Bree and Mannings genuinely both deserve that spot now. I don't think I would be saying that a few games ago when Bree just took it over, because Mannings really struggled in the last few games. And I said, what it is, Russell Martin has just turned around back to the player he was at Swansea, where he got 10 plus assists last season. And it's great to see the competition in our side, where we're really having these debates and struggles of which player to pick. And unfortunately for James Bree, Ryan Manning seems to be back on the top of the pecking order. And rightfully so, especially after this performance where he was really, really, really trying to get back into the good books of the boss.
And I feel like we talk about him every single week, Ollie, but we've got to do it because he just keeps playing so well. Flynn Downes, another fantastic performance against Cardiff City. And I saw someone on Twitter compare him to the Championship version of Morgan Schneiderlin. Hmm. Would you go along with that?
Schneiderlin is one of my all-time favourite players that I've seen in the Saints shirt. So for me, that's a lovely little comparison. But I think that it's true, and I've never actually thought about it that much. But I think the composure he holds, the ground that he covers as well, and the way that he knows what the manager wants to do perfectly, like in that kind of anchor role that he has, he doesn't have to do that many passes, but his pass accuracy and the distance, he could do the short ones or he can ping it long as well. His recoveries and the way that he battles in the middle as well is perfect for us. The interceptions as well. He's just an all-round great midfielder for this level. And again, someone who you feel is a little bit too good for the Championship, which is what we need if we want to get out the league.
And someone that I also think is too good for the Championship, he hasn't really shown it in a Saints shirt yet, Jamie, off the bench, Joe Rebo has a really good impact. He hits the post as well as a number of really good touches, nice passes, good movement as well. Do you think he can find his way into this Saints team? Because I think we mentioned it a few weeks ago, but it's difficult to find his best position. Or do you think off the bench is the best option for him?
Well, yeah, that's the last podcast I was on, Tizar. That's one of my big talking points was the fact that he kind of needs to leave the club for the sake of his career, realistically, because I'm not saying he's a bad player, but he just doesn't seem to fit into the squad. Or just, even like we said, when he comes in, what position does he play? Because we have so many amazingly talented players that he struggles to put his foot in there. Even though he's got the Championship experience back when he was with Charlton, I just don't really see how he can fit in this team and even solidify a starting position. But after his stint against Cardiff, I think Martin came out after the game and said he was really impressed by him. So maybe we'll see him more involved in the next game, possibly a start. But I don't know. I think if I was Joe Rebo, it's a very tough decision to make, because I think all the players can appreciate they're in a team now that is something special and really going to challenge for that automatic promotion spot. But for Joe, it depends if he wants to stick around and fight for it or go elsewhere and get regular game time.
Yeah, so it's a busy December period, and really for the rest of the season, how compact the Championship is. So if Russell Martin was impressed, as we've seen from his previous team selections, he'll certainly get an opportunity at some point. Now, the final part that I do want to bring up in this game, Ollie, was Russell Martin. Of course, he was delighted in his post-match press conference, but I think more than any other game, and maybe it's just because it was against Cardiff, you know, a former rival or a current rival of Swansea, it's his 5th win in a row against them, and he wanted to let the away fans know who was the boss in that stadium.
I don't know whether it is just those little things that get managers up for the game. They need to find a little something to prove it or get it into the players and say, look, I've got a good record against these and I don't want it to drop, or whether that's what jumps them out of bed in the morning on game day and think, right, I'm going to go at those guys. I'm going to put in the extra hours. I'm going to do that extra scouting report. I'm not sure, but it's motivation, isn't it? And everyone needs their own. Maybe that was what he needed today, and he certainly got the result because, like you said, it's one of the best performances we've seen at St Mary's this season.
Right, Watford up next. They've moved from 21st to 10th in the Championship in their last eight games. Only one loss in that time as well. Three wins in four with that one defeat coming against Leicester City. So not a bad defeat in that pile of games either. Jamie, what are your thoughts going into it?
I am so excited as I will be in attendance for the match.
Ooh, nice.
We are off on the trip to Vicarage Road. But yeah, I'm very looking forward to it. I think one thing I'm most looking forward to is seeing the return of Wesley Hoeit.
Do you see his goal?
That's, yeah, exactly. That's what I was about to say. Ollie put into our chat. Did you see that he scored from 45 yards, an absolute screamer? And I hope he tries to do it again against us so he can absolutely embarrass him.
Now, you say that, something that we mentioned or something that you mentioned last week, Ollie, is Wesley Hoyt's long-distance goal-scoring ability, apparently now, something that Bazzuni might have to watch out for if he likes to stay off his line. Because in the post-match press conference, when he was talking to ITV, he said that that's something that Valerian Ismail was telling them to do. If you see a goalkeeper off his line, go for that chip.
Yeah. Maybe. It might be something they work on in the week and work on his backpedalling and seeing how quickly he can run back, because I think the keeper did look a little bit slow and looked caught out by it. I don't know whether Wesley Hoeit watching the Beckham documentary or something, but yeah, he he picked it out of nowhere and dinked it over. It's a lovely weight of ball. We always knew Wesley Hoeit had a good ping on him. It was just all the other own goal scoring, which was the problem. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see whether he'll come back. We're talking about Russell Martin having a point to prove. Will Wesley Hoeit have a point to prove and say, look, you guys are on the down and Watford are on the up? I don't know. We'll see. I think it'll be a very interesting game. Jamie, I want to hear recordings. I want to hear behind the scenes. I want to see TikTok content. I want to see everything from you on that away day.
Trust me, mate. Just you look out. I have my little online editor I send the videos to.
Okay.
He puts them out there.
Yeah.
And just you wait. But one thing is interesting, though. I think it generally will take me, living in London, the same length of time to get to Watford Stadium than it will to drive from Southampton. Because it's just complete opposite end to where I am.
Yeah. So,
interesting antidote. Watch out for the content, guys.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
On that bombshell.
So, Ollie, what are you thinking going into this game? I think, you know, against Cardiff, against Bristol City, there are two teams that were in indifferent form. And even the games before that, really, the teams that we've beaten, they weren't having the best time of it. Whereas with Watford, similar to us, they're a team in confidence. So they'll be going into this game and they're going to try and attack. They're going to try and win.
Which sometimes works in our own favour. If they are coming into our attack and a press, we can play against that, and I think we quite like that. I think the games that we struggled with was when you just saw the classic 4-4-2 low blocks, and that's the kind of games I've been worried about most, when it was big teams coming in and just trying to knock us off our style. Whereas if it's like Watford, who want to come and play, then hopefully the best team will come away with the points. And I truly believe that the way that we're playing, how many games we've gone undefeated, and the quality of our squad, if it's two teams playing football and the best team wins, hopefully it should be us.
And Jamie, should there be any changes going into this match? I made sure not to talk to Ollie because I know he hates this question. But I'm going to ask you this time, should Bree come in? Should Adozie get a start? Do you think Adams deserves to stay in the team after a solid performance against Cardiff City? If you were Russell Martin, what would you do?
I'd say if we did have a midweek game, then I'd say absolutely. However, we have a whole week to rest, and I don't think we should change that starting 11 unless there's injuries involved, because I think that works. And where we're being very dominating against Cardiff, I think we'll do the exact same against Watford if we keep the same lineup, that is, because they've really showed that all of them together can work well, and I'm really looking forward to the game, not just because I'm going to be there, but I do think Watford are a team to take advantage of, especially at this time.
Yeah, I mean, if we can score inside 8 seconds, just like Shane Long did, then I think that would cool the nerves.
Another game.
Dramatically.
Yeah,
no, absolutely. Right, my favourite time of the podcast, it's score prediction time. Watford versus Southampton. Ollie, what do you think's going to happen?
I think it's going to be a throwback to the old Championship days. I think we're going to see a 3-1. I think we're going to wash them away, but I don't think we'll get that clean sheet because Wesley Hoyt's going to dink one again from
And Jamie?
I'm going to go for a 2-0 win, and I want the hat-trick of clean sheets for Big Baz.
I like the sound of that. I'm going to go for 2-1. I think they'll steal a goal, but we'll score two in the first half and make it quite comfortable. Anyway, that's all we've got time for this week's episode of the podcast. We had a look at the Bristol City and Cardiff City wins before previewing the game against Watford. Hopefully next week we'll be doing exactly what we did in the first episode, as we did for the 200th. We'll be reviewing an away game against Watford, just the way fate works sometimes. And hopefully previewing a big game against Coventry as well on the Wednesday before our weekend match as well. My name's been Harry Tizard. I've been joined by Ollie Boast.
Thank you very much for listening.
Jamie Allen.
See you on the 200th.
Cool.
And we'll see you next week.